Great question. The Manufacturing Podcast offers news and information for the people who make, store, and move things, and those who manage and maintain the facilities where that work gets done. Welcome to this special edition of Great Question, the Manufacturing Podcast. This episode is sponsored by FS Curtis, a brand that continues to be the symbol of quality and excellence in the design and manufacture of air compressors. I'm Tom Wilk, the Chief Editor of Plant Services, and with me today is Tony Montaldo, who currently serves as the Director of Technical Product Management at FS Curtis. Tony's a seasoned professional with more than 35 years of experience in the compressed air industry, having worked for both the manufacturer and service provider. So he's well positioned to talk about the topic we're going to focus on today, which is when you're a manufacturer looking for support from a compressed air service provider, how do you make that selection? What do you look for in providers? What are some of the criteria you should really pay attention to? And what are some of the nuances of that relationship? So, Tony, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me, Tom.
So I mentioned you've got 35 years of experience here. What are some of the more memorable projects or experiences from those years on the compressed air side?
Oh, lots. That's what's fun about the air compressor business. If you really do like to kind of learn and see different things, it's endless. So I started out up in New York at a pretty big compressor shop and did a lot of learning on the engineering side. I've just seen so many things, so many industrial plants, how things are made, power plants, pharmaceutical plants, all that stuff. So it's been fun. And the business has changed. So I'm kind of excited to chat with you about it.
Excellent. Well, and we blocked out three general areas to talk about today for our listeners here. We're going to talk about service capabilities, areas beyond the compressor room, and overall considerations for the size of companies. So we'll start with the first one, Tony. This is probably the most critical one. Could you elaborate a little bit about some key criteria to consider when a plant team is evaluating the compressed air service provider's service capabilities, the people who are going to be in their plant helping out with the work?
Right. Yeah, this is a great topic because I could tell you, I go on a lot of webinars and read a lot of articles. I try to stay up to speed with, the air compressor business naturally. And it just seems like every single article, every webinar, every podcast we're doing is all about energy savings. Energy savings, energy savings, energy savings. It's always kind of like purchase our variable speed air compressor. You will save energy, things like that. But if you really have, an honest discussion with a manufacturing plant and really get to what's most important to them, it's reliability all the way. I mean, the widget that they make has to go out the door. The production can't go down. So yes, energy savings is important. And there's some titles in the manufacturing plant. It could be like, energy engineer. And yeah, energy savings is important to that guy. But even that title, if you really got to what's the most important to the plant, honestly, it's production. It's reliability. So it's a great topic. So, and again, some of these things I'll say that we'll get into, I think, today may be important to the end user. Some may not be. It's just a preference, just some of the stuff I've seen my whole life. So on the service side, I think it's fair to really, the end user to really look at, maybe the number of service techs. And some may have a few. You don't need a fleet of 30 of them necessarily. It's maybe not so much the quantity of them, but, one important thing would be, the training of the techs. And again, that could be a preference. It could be someone just learned on the job and he's a fantastic tech and the end user loves him. He just learned everything just on the job training, but some would really prefer like some sort of factory formal training ongoing. You invested in that tech. The cost to fly him out to a factory and get factory training. So that might be important to some of these plants. Okay. Getting back to the knowledgeable, how knowledgeable the tech is. What I've seen sometimes it's, the end user will call. I need a service call. You think I could have the last one that you sent? That guy really knew his stuff. Well, that's the only one we have. He's our knowledgeable one. We have three others that are kind of helpers. But if you want the really knowledgeable guy, you're going to have to wait like 3 weeks. He's booked out, Now it could be, you could wait, but Some may not want to wait, you know, things like that.
You mentioned reliability is a top concern or the top concern. I mean, sometimes people can't wait those extra 3 weeks for the one person who's got the experience.
And some can. It could be, you know, some of these plants, it's back up to the back up to the backup. It's like, all right, I'll wait for that guy, you know, and they're okay with that. And so it's just, again, things I've seen my whole life. Another thing to consider I've seen also is like the techs, and you know, these are fair questions. Are they kind of geographically placed around, you know, in the area? Because also I've seen, you know, you call, you need someone, and it's like, well, they're all about 4 hours away from you. You're going to have to wait. And some are set up pretty well with, they're all in kind of key areas to cover, you know, take care of that plant, give them good support. Here's a big one that I feel is a big one. Can they work on all of the equipment in the compressor room? Now, what I've seen many, many times, it's okay, we could work on the air compressor we sold you. Our tech knows that pretty well, but he's not going to touch anything else. Now, there's other equipment in the room. There's something called a dryer to take the water out of the compressed air, right? And it's usually it's a refrigeration circuit in that dryer.
Okay.
So you can get the response, we're not going to touch your dryer. Go find an air conditioning guy. So that might be okay, and that might not be okay. They may want a tech can do all of that. Look at the filtration and the dryers and maybe other stuff in the room, vacuum pumps and things like that.
I imagine, though, that if you do contract out with a person who might not have the experience you're talking about, the surprise factor can add up when you realize, oh, I got to add person B and person C and person D along the way. So it's better to get the question answered up front.
Agree. Right. Another thing that can come up is, can those service techs work on multiple brands? Because it's not that often where the compressor room is all one brand, every piece of equipment. You do see it. But sometimes the plant will have, you know, four air compressors and three different manufacturers. They're all different flavors, you know. Sure. So can that tech, and you'll get the response, well, he knows the one we sold you, but he's not touching those other ones. I mean, that's something to consider. And along with just, I mean, let's say lubricated rotary screw, very common, right? Manufacturing plants. Can you work on anyone? They're going to be similar the way they, you know, compress the air, the controls, but can he or she work on the other brands? And part of that is, can they get the parts? Now, another thing I've seen many, many times in my life is you're working on a competitive machine and you need a part, let's say a solenoid valve, common part, right? And it's like, okay, we got to call this other manufacturer or the rep for that manufacturer. Well, they won't sell us that part. They know we're a competitor. We can't get the part number. We can get the part. But someone that might be real knowledgeable will say, you know, this air compressor is out of warranty. We don't really need to get the part from the manufacturer. It's a solenoid valve. It's, you know, let's say three-way, 110 volt, normally open, quarter inch solenoid valve. A really knowledgeable tech will say, I got three of those on my truck. I'll get you going right now. Okay. Then installations. Some will really want like a turnkey project. You sold us the air compressor. You got to push it in place and pipe it in and start it up and all that. And some compressor shops will say, you know, you got to find a plumber or a contractor. We don't do that. Call us when it's installed and then we'll start it up for you. Again, a preference. But what I've seen, which can come up, if there's an issue, the finger pointing. Hey, your brand new compressor is tripping out on high temp. Okay, send the service tech. You know, the plant's shutting down. Well, your installer didn't install it right. It's supposed to be 3 foot away from the wall. Look at the book. And it's, you know, 2 foot, 11 inches. Get him back over here. That's not our fault. We're leaving, you know. You can get some of that finger pointing thing when it's, you know, turnkey project, okay?
Right.
I've seen that. Another thing to look for is, you know, and you don't have to be a huge compressor company, you know, to give good service. I just want to preface that. But everyone claims 24-hour service. You look at, and everyone has a website, and they're going to, we 24/7, we'll be there for you. Well, what, how does that work? When you really need them at 3 o'clock in the morning and your plant is down, can you get someone? You know, something that you may want to look into. Let's see. Oh, you know what's a good one, Tom, is, you know, every compressor shop offers maintenance programs, PM agreements, service contracts, however right. you call them. And some can be just really, they do it one way, you know, they're not flexible at all in how they do it. Mm-hmm. And some, it just works if they could be a little bit flexible. They could think outside the box. Like what I've seen is the tech goes to do the work and the plant changes so much with shifts and the amount of machinery they run that when the tech showed up and he thought he was doing this service on these compressors, you know, let's say one, the air filter was spotless clean. The compressor barely ran, but according to their system, he's due to change the parts in it that are brand new.
Sure.
So can you have that knowledge and just say, hey, why don't we change this up a bit? Let's say, for example, how about you stock the parts and you just pay our labor every visit? You know, mm-hmm. something thinking outside the box like that. And then there's some that say, you know, we have tight budgets. I can't have any surprises. If this motor burns up or this, you know, after cooler, a big ticket item in this compressor, it could be many, many thousands of dollars that I didn't budget for. So I want like a bumper to bumper agreement. So can you handle that? You know, because you have to put into the price some of these big ticket items that may fail, you know, and some just compressor shops just kind of don't have the knowledge to do something like that. You know, a creative PM agreement, things like that.
Hey, I'm curious about this. All these things are rolling up into what you started out with, which is that this is all focused on reliability of the assets.
Right.
How can the service provider maintain the condition of the asset? In your experience, when, say, a plant or an end user is talking to a potential service provider, can they pick up pretty quickly whether that provider is tuned in to like reliability best practices, that reliability mentality you're talking about?
I think so. And we may get into that more when we talk about, I think we're going to maybe discuss the company themselves and how they're structured. Mm-hmm. And I think just, you know, like anything else, just maybe watching how they work and asking some of these type of questions. I think because who's going to be your contact in the factory, in the manufacturing plant is going to be a maintenance manager or plant manager. You don't get that title. You're pretty handy mechanical person, right? So right. I think you could pick on that real quick.
Okay.
That's a good question.
Well, let me ask one more before we move into beyond the compressor room area. You mentioned when we first talked that people should ask about the technicians being qualified and safety trained to enter the specific plant or environment. And that's something I hadn't really thought of before. Can you talk a little bit more about that, about any special training or certifications these service providers might need to actually enter your plant in the first place?
Right. That's good. That's a coincidence. I was just going to mention that. the plant may require some specific training. And do you have that under your belt, or will you send your person maybe to that training, you know, school, let's say? I'm down here in Florida. We have mines. We have phosphate mines. So there's, you know, something called like a MSHA card, you know, and you can't step foot in there if you don't have it, you know. And then also how important is safety to you? They may require specific safety training specific to that plant, site specific or off site, you know, like ladder training. Do you want someone, you know, hanging off of a pipe with one hand and turning a wrench with the other? You know, he wasn't trained how to use, the person wasn't trained properly how to, you know, use a ladder or a scissor lift and things like that. It's usually a requirement with the plant. So yeah, that is a good question, especially if that's part of the plant themselves. Safety is huge, you know, obviously.
Okay, well, then let's go to the second area we blocked out, which we called beyond the compressor room. And for our listeners, frankly, this is more the sales side of the business, as I understand it, Tony. What are some of the considerations that end users should pay attention to, again, when they're talking to potential service providers about the sales side? You know, once you get beyond the machines themselves, what issues come up that they got to be aware of?
Okay, good. Yeah. And we mentioned energy savings when we first started, but It could be important, you know, on the sales side, and it may not be they have a sales department. It could be the owner of the company does the selling. But is there someone knowledgeable enough to do like an air audit in your plan? So to me, like, it's just not all about energy savings, even with an air audit. You would think air audit equals how much energy can I save? And again, it could be solution, buy my new air compressor, you'll save energy, and it's going to have a variable speed drive on it, whatever, right? But can that air audit be more inclusive? Can it include, you know, reliability improvements rather than just energy savings? Would you notice maybe the room is too hot, the ducting isn't proper, let's say? That should be part of the audit. Some of the mechanical things, is your maintenance going well? That could be part of your report. Did no one ever adjust your controls to run more reliably?
Okay.
Air compressors, again, just let's say the bread and butters, the lubricated rotary screws, you'll see most of them, they stop pumping or unload at 125 and reload at 110 right from the factory. And no one ever touches it. Why? Why not adjust it, tweak it? You know, can that be part of your air audit, the reliability, the mechanical part of it versus like the energy savings? The other things on the sales side is, you know, I would look into, you know, what factory are they aligned with? If you need to buy a new air compressor. Some nowadays will have, and again, I'll say this again, I'm being repetitive on this. I'm sorry, but it could be important. It may not be important, but some will have like four or five brands versus like focusing on one. And their sales strategy is, oh, you need something? Let me look through all my brands and see what the lowest price unit is. So I don't know, the end user aren't always about the price. You know, that may not be what's interesting, the most important to them. Some may prefer you really, you know, have one line and you're maybe considered like a platinum distributor for that one line and you're an expert on that line. And you have a relationship with that manufacturer you represent. You know, there could be issues. Maybe the manufacturer would send someone to help with the issue. Maybe you have influence with that manufacturer on problems because you're such an expert. You focus on that one line. You're not just selling the latest flavor of what's going on out there. And then the manufacturer of that equipment themselves, have they been around? You know, that's something that could be important to the end user is. There's some manufacturers, it seems like they're popping in to the United States and they want a piece of the U.S. market. So they want to get market share and they're offering, you know, this low pricing. Look into that. Is the lowest price compressor really the right solution or something online or something like that? Are you really going to get the support you need from that, you know, that manufacturer? And the manufacturer themselves. And just because if it's a big name or a small name, how are they set up? Can they give the service provider, you know, fast, reliable answers? Do they have a portal? How about things like that? It could be they just moved into the United States and they have a big warehouse, not really a factory, you know. Do they have like a portal where you could look up things, you know, see what's in stock or pull manuals down and wiring diagrams? You know, these things are important, especially if you need to move quickly, like for a manufacturing plant, a portal to put download information. Do they have, you know, customer service departments, tech help? Is it, you know, some people do like that, prefer that. They get better support when the factory themselves have been around a long time and have all these different, you know, departments to help.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you mentioned about, you know, looking past the compressor room, can that, you know, sales engineer or let's say owner that may do the selling, can they give, you know, really, you know, good advice? Can they be a solutions person, you know, not just, hey, buy my new compressor? Can they look at the piping outside of the compressor room? Is the piping too small? Do they have that knowledge? They could do certain calculations in that engineering side where they could give good advice, really be a solutions person. You know, there's something called, you mentioned like tweaking the controls. There's something called artificial demand. It's when your pressure is so high, you're always going to have leaks in a manufacturing plant, right? Always. Mm-hmm. Brand new hoses and quick couplers that are dropped down to the machines that make the widgets that they make, they always leak, brand new. Okay, so you're going to have leaks. So if you have 125 PSI at that leak, you're going to leak a lot more air than if you have 90 PSI at that leak, right? Mm. Just common sense. So like, does the, but it's never, a lot of times it's not mentioned. Does that service provider, the sales part of it, mention these things, you know, that, that engineering knowledge, walk around the plant and help? Inappropriate uses is another thing. Are you using compressed air is expensive. Are you using it inappropriately where you could use something else? One, I'll be quick. It's kind of a funny story. I got this years ago. I got called up, sell us a new compressor. We need a bigger one. We can't keep up. We have a 50 horse now. The next size up is a 75. Sell me that right away. Hurry up. I said, I got to look at what's going on there. I'm not just going to sell you a bigger compressor. Well, hurry up. We're losing production. The compressor's too small. I got to tell you. So I go there. I did well this day. Okay. I go there and ask questions, right? Did you add on more machinery? Is that why you're using more air? I'd be happy to put in a new 75 horse, whatever. No, we didn't add on anything new, but the compressor's too small. Sell me one quick. All right. So now we're walking around the plant and we notice, I noticed that a lot of the operators took, you know, tubing off and pointed it to themselves to blow on themselves for air conditioning to cool themselves off. It was hot.
Oh my gosh.
I said, all right, I got this figured out. You got the most expensive air conditioning system in the world. Okay. Just get some fans for these people. Now, I don't want to, you don't want to do anything detrimental to the plant workers, you know.
Yeah.
Shut that air off. Don't let them do that. Suggest a fan, you know, a $5 fan, because right. I could give you a rule of thumb that I remember. A quarter, if you put 100 PSI at a quarter inch orifice, so it's pretty small, okay. Right? It'll flow 100 CFM compressed air. Wow. CFM is equivalent to a 25 horsepower. And a 25 horsepower is like 20 kilowatt. So that's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on your electric bill, you know, 20 kilowatt in a year.
So, and that's a step up on the story you told about the guy who wanted to go from 50 to 75 horse right there.
Right. So that there's day I was a solutions guy. Do not buy a new compressor. Don't do this with the tubing, you know, inappropriate uses, get some fans. But you could have, I've seen it. You could have some salespeople, whether it's their knowledge or maybe they're just trying to, you know, they have a CRM and, mm-hmm. and their boss, the sales manager said, hey, out of your five parts, you're in the red on 4 out of 5. You know, pick up the pace a little bit. You better get some more quotes out there and get in the green.
Right.
So maybe that person in that situation and the person's knowledge, all right, I'm going to email a quote for a 75 horsepower. I'm not even going to that plant. I've seen it. Don't even show up. You need a bigger compressor? Oh, I'd be happy to sell you one. Now, is that really a solutions person? That's another thing you hear all day long. We're a solutions company. We're a solutions company. We're a solutions company. Well, kind of practice what you put on your website. So those are some of the points I'd say on the sales side that you could look for. And I think, like you had said, Tom, you could kind of spot that if it's a solutions guy, like that kind of funny story about the tubing.
Yeah, well, and that's a good transition into the last topic we're going to talk about, which is sort of the considerations around the company identity. In terms of the company itself, you know, we're going beyond the technical skills. We're going beyond the contact with the technical sales engineers, those kind of folks. What should end users look for to help them make a good decision when it comes to the company itself? You know,
I'd say that's good. I'd say one thing to look for, if it's important to you, one more time, is the structure, how the company is set up. I mean, is there some, let's say, either owners or management? And then maybe what works for you would be if they really have the departments in place, you know, a sales department, a service department. The sales department maybe have salespeople, those knowledgeable people in the field, parts department, service department, you know, the different departments. And this is something that comes up all the time. Some people have to have it. Some people are okay without it. The brick and mortar office, kind of in the neighborhood, because that local office is going to have parts on the shelf. You know, right. Can you give them good, fast support with a local office? Do they have equipment in stock if you need to buy something? How about rentals? If you're in trouble, do they have rentals in their facility? Mm-hmm. I can remember one time, a good customer was just in a bind. He was running hot. He was low on oil. I raced into our shop, put a 5-gallon pail of oil in my car and raced out to him. So again, okay, I did good that day, but we had a local shop and office. Maybe what does the office and shop look like? You know, maybe before you make a decision, you know, kind of take a look, see if it's good, clean, organized, how they run. Do they have good systems in place? I would say some are okay with like a service tech filling out a paper ticket, and some really, you know, I really like him. You know, I like that your guy has a tablet. You know, he's filling out his paperwork on his tablet. It's all, you know, in the cloud and organized, all the information.
Sure.
And just some of the common sense stuff, just like anything else. You know, do they have references? If they can give you some good references of plants they work at, that's a good indication that they do some pretty good work, you know. And maybe go into some of those compressor rooms, see what they look like. Does it look like a clean, nice compressor room? The pipe is plumb and level, you know, looks good. Mm-hmm. That might be good. And then finally, some of the requirements, like we had mentioned before, you know, do they have the right insurance coverage, things like that. And then one thing I'm seeing more and more, especially on the bigger plants, is they farm out some of the systems, like the billing and the safety programs. They don't do that in-house. They kind of delegate that. And there's companies out there that handle all that for these big plants. So if you're not a subscriber to that company to do the billing and the invoicing and set up the service calls, and they look at your safety programs, you can't step foot in that plant. And it happens over and over again. And like for our branch in Florida, we do some big work in mines and power plants, and we belong to this one company that handles all that stuff. And it is time consuming. First of all, you have to subscribe, and it's a cost. So you got to make a business decision. And then it's a lot of work. You can just get an email. Hey, we don't have your latest safety manual. You can't step foot in the plant. You're now rated an F. Get back up to an A, and then you can come into the plant. And it was so much work. In our Florida branch, our general manager handled it himself. He didn't delegate it. He stayed on top of it. And it was a lot of work and costly. But if you want to do work in that plant, you have to do it. So is the company set up to do that if that's, you know, required?
I think that gets us to the end of today's podcast, Tony. You blocked out three areas that end users and plant teams should really think about when they approach compressor or service providers. And again, like you said, none of which really focus so much on the energy efficiency. This is all about maintaining a good relationship, but also coming at it from that reliability perspective, which I think is where a lot of our listeners live.
Yeah, this was fun.
All right. Well, talk to you next time. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks so much, Tom.